It is believed to have originated in ancient India some 5,000 years ago. Today, it's one of the hottest trends in America. It is yoga. More and more Americans are trying the ancient practice that provides spiritual, mental, and physical wellness. Today, we go inside yoga with Corinne Sergio and Hannah Price. Where did your interest begin in yoga?
Mine started back in 2001. A best friend in high school's aunt, she lent us a DVD, and we did yoga in our living room in college and kind of got hooked. I was a dancer, formally trained from a young age all the way through my early 20s, and saw yoga as a natural transition progression into being still mobile post-dance. So I've been practicing since 2001.
How about you, Hannah?
Let's see, 2014, I think I really kind of jumped on the yoga train, so to speak. I had just went through a pretty nasty divorce. It was a really rough time. I became a single mom with five kids pretty quick, and so I had a real good friend who teaches yoga. And she invited me to a class, and I just felt amazing. And I thought, you know, if I feel this good this time, I wonder if I keep going back. And so for weeks, I attended. It really got me through a rough patch. And I thought, I really want to share this with other people. And so I just dove right in.
Is yoga exercise? Is it mental health? Is it relaxation?
All of it.
All of it.
All of it. All of it. Yeah. You come in to a class, and one thing we pretty much love is that we take the few first minutes of class and let you settle in. We do a little bit of meditation, maybe give a mantra for the class or a focal point. So it's a whole mind-body connection. I've always said the breath is the most important part. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It doesn't matter what it looked like. You start with the breath, and then the postures, the strength, the stretching, that's all coming afterwards.
Sure. Go ahead.
What do you mean about the breath?
So yoga is predominantly breath work. And so we as a society, adults especially, don't breathe correctly. Like if you were to take a big breath in right now, could you tell me where you're breathing? Are you breathing in your nose, your chest, your belly? Most adults breathe through their rib cage, their chest. So that breath is more shallow. And when you do yoga breathing, it starts at the belly. And so that really gets that parasympathetic nervous system to calm down. If you ever look at a baby sleeping, that baby is breathing in and out through its belly, nice and relaxed, very calm. There's no fight or flight response happening there. And so as we age, that stressor, everyday stressors come in, and we start to shorten our and not lengthen our breath long enough.
Sure. A lot of people are, you know, chest breathing gets it done, so to speak. But really and truthfully, like she said, I have to agree, there are so many people that have no idea how to breathe correctly. When you yawn throughout the day, or if you take that deep sigh, it's not that you're tired, it's that your body is striving for more oxygen. So just something to be mindful of that we teach. You know, again, coming into class, you know, you about the meditation, and so yoga hasn't really been defined as an exercise.
So you're not doing it to lose weight?
No. There are benefits. You know, our studio offers, you know, of course, full body wellness. So, you know, getting into a little bit of that, you know, that offers maybe an eating plan or, you know, something a little more in depth than just coming to class. You know, at the start of every class, like she said, you know, we give some time to just sort of settle in, and I probably give a longer time than most, you know, because all week long our brains are constantly pulling and absorbing information, and we're moving. Just, you know, your mind and your body are in two different places most of the time. You know, they're together, but they're in two different areas. And so I like to give everybody an opportunity to come in and really not have to think about anything. Let's not think about breathing. Let's not think about doing anything, but simply just being for a few moments. And so for me, I think it's not just the physical. I'm probably more on the mental healing and sort of bringing all of that in than I am just the physical. So
it's really not fair to lump yoga in with Pilates or aerobics or anything along that realm?
I wouldn't say lump would be the right word. It's a similar modality. You do use breath work in Pilates and those types of other modalities. But with yoga, the breath leads the practice. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for my class, huge proponent in one breath, one movement. So perhaps you're stretching forward to touch your toes, and that's going to be an exhale. So there's more space in your belly, more space for you to touch. An inhale would be the reverse, to come back to stand. So you're breathing your body, then you're working it out. Then you're stretching it and strengthening it and elongating it.
Mm-hmm. Giving you a chance to learn a little bit about yoga as we visit with Corinne Sergio and Hannah Price from the Bhakti Yoga of Sparta. Hannah Price, Corinne Sergio from Bhakti Yoga of Sparta. We'll tell you a little bit later how you can find out more about them and what they do. So we're talking about breathing. So what struck me as you were talking about that, Corinne, is this where the idea of would you just take a deep breath? Are they connected in the terms of take a deep breath, feel better, relax?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, take a breath, big breath right now. I mean, with me, inhale. And then exhale. Like you just feel refreshed, and so can just think about doing that for 60 minutes. And so when you get that breath, that belly breath, it becomes rhythmic, and then you kind of know that you're breathing. And then when you move, it's kind of still there and present. It's in the background. So by the time you get done, you've worked out, you've stretched, you've hopefully released anything that ails you that day, or turned off your mind for what might happen in the hours, the days to come. And there's a thing called yogic high after a class, because you've properly breathed your body for 60 minutes. So you leave almost in a...
kind of like a euphoric
Euphoric state, yeah. Calm, you feel strong, you release tension. It's pretty glorious.
All right, so I want to hear if you think that I'm with most people, mm-hmm. because you said we're going to spend 60 minutes breathing.
Mm-hmm.
And my first thought was... really?
Boring, right?
Yeah.
Really?
Most people, I think, are probably very intimidated by yoga. You know, social media is great. Obviously, it's a lot of ways to connect with people. On the other end, I think that sometimes people have a misconception of what yoga is because of what they see. You know, and they're like, well, my body can't do that. I think we would both agree that yoga is not just an exercise. It's not just, you know, something that you do, but it's sort of a way of life that you end up transitioning into. It's a journey with yourself, learning how to breathe, learning what your body needs, what it doesn't need. You know, we stay so busy, we absorb so much. And most of the time, you know, people are like, well, I've went to the gym, you know, I'm going to work out, I'm going to do the thing, because we're focused on the physical. Yoga taps in on the physical and the mental and emotional. So that kind of wraps all of that together. And you learn how to breathe, again, like she said, you know, as you move your body, you know, your breath and your body movement become one. And it really has so many benefits, not just physically, but also, you know, mentally as well. It's just a chance to reset. So, you know, come into class and it's not that you just take these, you know, one breath after another. You're guided. You know, we guide you through your breath work. We guide you through your movement. And so each step of the way, you know, you have a little bit of an understanding of what's next to come. And so it really... you know, you really do leave class feeling totally just renewed. I've never, and I have felt pretty terrible sometimes, and I've taught and I've went to a yoga class, and I've always felt leaving amazing. So I really feel like it's one of those things you just have to try it to really get the full effect of what yoga can do for you.
It might be social media or it might be popular media. I can't think of how many sitcoms I've seen with somebody trying to get down into... the quote-unquote yoga position.
Yeah.
So that's not really what I have to do.
You don't have to go upside down. You don't have to do the splits. You don't have to. We actually prefer
you. Put my feet together.
Yes, and... no. We prefer you to come in as you are. And you don't go to yoga because you're flexible. You go to yoga to become flexible. You go to yoga to relax.
Yeah.
You go to yoga to take a little bit of self-care. You know, allow that time for you in this busy world.
Yeah. And we have kind of a funny thing that most of our yogis would probably agree. So for me, my mantra, my saying is, you're on your mat, you do whatever you feel like. Corinne's little...
This, this whole society of you know, compare, contrast with people. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what your neighbor's doing, which is hard, but you focus on you.
Sure.
But I have a thing where I say, you know, you can do anything for 10 more seconds. And it not only applies to you being on the mat, but in life. I mean, you can do anything for 10 more seconds. It's going to go really quickly. You move on to the next thing.
True or false? Yoga is female dominated.
That's false, actually.
Yeah.
So originally, where yoga is originated in out of India, women were not allowed to practice. It was a men only thing, and so that is where that originally started from. That's huge over there. That is very widely practiced. That's where it originally comes from. And so in the beginning, women weren't allowed to practice at all. And so when we opened our studio, we knew that we wanted to offer a men's class. That was one of the things we had talked about right off the bat. And so we've opened it up. We've had a men's class for quite some time. We have a great following of our guys. And so it's funny because, you know, my husband's a big guy and he's bearded and, you know, everybody's like, if he can do it, I can do it, you know. And so and her husband's great, too. You know, they come. And so we have a lot of fun. There's a little tension at first, I think, not knowing what to expect. But her and I, we teach the class together. There's no other women in there. It's just us and the guys. And so I think once you get your foot in the door there and kind of see what it's all about, we've never had anybody not come back.
That's true.
But we have repeat offenders.
Yeah,
all
we do have
us.
Repeat offenders.
We're a little tough on the guys.
Are men more reluctant to try it?
I believe so, yes. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, going off of what Hannah said, yeah, traditionally it was a male-dominated activity. And I think more in the Western world and as it's gaining popularity, more men are coming into it. And I think maybe in our area there might be a little stigma attached to it, like this is a women's exercise thing.
We're talking about yoga, introducing you to two of the experts here in the Upper Cumberland. Hannah Price, Corinne Sergio are with us. Talking yoga, giving you an insight into this form that has been around for centuries, but it has grown in popularity. Corinne Sergio, Hannah Price. Hannah, why do you think that is? Why has it become, because I think back to when I was growing up, that's, I don't want to sound ancient, but it was kind of something that was new age and that was where it lived.
Sure.
But now it seems much more mainstream.
I think people are starting to shift their perspective a little bit on what yoga is. You know, again, we talk a little bit about, you know, there are a lot of, you know, physical aspects that come with yoga, but I think people are starting to become more self-conscious of their mental health. Yoga is really huge for that, and I can't stress that enough. Yoga just has so many benefits for the mind. You know, when you move your body and you release some things, you know, we always talk about stretching and moving and breathing in class. You know, you release things. Your body tends to hold on to stuff, especially in your shoulders, your hips, those type things. And so the more that people are aware about what yoga really is, I think people are starting to shift that perspective of leaning more into self-care instead of the intimidation of, you know, this is something that, you know, is more of like a cult or something, I feel like. Because I've had people say that to me. People are like, well, are you a cult? And I'm like, no.
I was wondering that.
I don't think so.
I was wondering that, Corinne, because I think that, again, it's new age, different. That's the perception.
Right, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. There's been, oftentimes, when I was first getting really into teaching and teaching in this area, I had a lot of people question, like, it's not religious-based. I mean, yes, traditionally, Hinduism is the religion in India, well, one of them. And so, yes, there's a lot of commonalities. Sometimes yoga teachers will speak in Sanskrit. We don't, or we interchange. We're basically English-speaking postures when we teach. So there, I think when you come in and you learn and you see that it can be as spiritual as you want it to be,
mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily encourage that spirituality at our studio, as far as we're not expecting you to do that.
Any particular thing.
It's just, it is God, it's source, it's, you know, whatever your belief system is, that's yours. And we're here to just lead you and guide you in.
That goes back to us offering community with people. You know, we want everyone to feel that comes in our studio that they have a place to belong. You know, and we're not really concerned, I'll just say, with all the other stuff, quote unquote.
Right.
You know, we want people to feel family there. We want you to come in, you know, without expectation, without being judged, you know, because we're not concerned with any of those other things. That's not what we're there for. But we do, you know, Bhakti means love. And, you know, when we chose that name, we felt like that was such a good name because that's what we have to offer. We want to love our community. We want to love the people that are, you know, drawn to us and a part of our studio. And so I think we have done a really good job of sort of creating that sort of environment
right,
within our studio.
Hannon, can I do yoga on my own?
You can. You know, there's tons of YouTube. There's tons of videos and different things that you can pull from. There's some online platforms that you can belong to. You know, eventually, you know, Corinne and I hope to be able to offer online in the coming years. That's something that we've talked about. So we hope that, you know, people who might not be able to attend our studio in person or may just feel comfortable starting out online, that'll be something that we hope to offer them in the future. So most definitely you can do it on your own.
How often do you, would you call it practice?
We refer to it as practice.
Yeah, you can practice once a week and get great benefits. I like to tell students that if you're looking for, you know, a weekly release, a lot of like clarity of the mind, 2 to 3 times a week is going to do that. And then you're going to start to see some changes in your body. So that's where, you know, the major exercise mm-hmm. comes. That's where you're going to see your body change and strengthen and elongate. But I've got yogis that maybe do it 4 times to 7 times a week. So mm-hmm. it just depends on obviously what you've got available, the time you have available, and if you do it privately at home or if you come to studio to do it. But it's really entirely what you're wanting to gain out of it. So.